Oh, damn. He's crying so much, he can't handle all the emotion.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 261 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and oh, do we have the perfect antidote for all your in-autumn afterthoughts?
Get in touch with us at Sapnin Pod on the app formerly known as Twitter and Instagram, and let me know if you like Morgan doing these puns, because surely I'm not alone in this, am I?
There's at least four people who enjoy it, so I got to keep the stick going, you know. It's just... And that was a perfect time to do this one, because it's literally the last week of autumn as well, for us to make sense. So that's, you know,
All right. Well, our guest this week is the lovely Steph O'Sullivan from the fantastic Grey Wind.
Not to offend her or anything, but I keep saying Steph is the female version of me, because we both have an unhealthy love for Taking Back Sunday, Jimmy Eat World, My Chemical Romance, Instagram selfies, and we both suffer from the fact that we are lifelong supporters of Manchester United Football Club.
I can't believe you've put that evil on her. Nobody in the world is like, do you know what I am? I'm the female version of more, like nobody wants to be the female version of Sean Smith, right? I can't believe you said that about her. Steph, I'm so sorry for what he said. I'm sorry for the puns. It's been an awful start, I'll be honest. It's been a bad start for you, Steph. I'm sorry, but thank you for doing this chat. It was fucking class.
Yeah, let's not hold any of that against that. I mean, if you've ever wondered what Irish emo sounds like, then Grey Wind are the perfect band for you. You might recognize Steph from a previous appearance on the podcast on episode 182, where we celebrated the legacy of Blink, along with Ben Bardo of Neck Deep and Derek from State Champs. But it's about time we finally had her on to dive into her life and the secret battles behind the scenes with Grey Wind. They released their debut album back in 2017. There was a lot of hype around it, but ever since, they've kind of been in the shadows and not being able to really go out there and tour as much as they would like. On this conversation, she's going to dive into that tenfold and tell us some really deep, dark secrets about industry battles. And finally coming up from the other side of it, that this last few months of seeing them have a fresh start with exploding on TikTok. They've become the emo king and queen there. Fred Durst has been commenting on their videos with fire emojis. And I think this conversation is just a perfect example of industry nightmares versus hardworking people finally getting good things happen to them.
Up and down, very, very much up and down with emotions when you hear what Grey Wind have been through and what's happened to them. But I'm so, so glad they are fighting through and are making and creating and giving us new music, because they are fucking ripping.
They've got a brand new single out right now titled Antidote. They've been in America recording a bunch of new stuff. We're going to talk all about it. And their new manager, Casey, from the Wonder Years. So they're in the perfect hands now to kind of seize this opportunity and seize the day. And we are just so ecstatic. We legitimately have to give her space just to talk through everything at one point, because the story is so in depth, and our reactions was just like, what the hell? I can't believe you've had to go through all this. So expect a bumpy ride full of laughs, full of emo misery and everything else in between. But before we get into the rest of this conversation, just a reminder to go and follow us at Sappening Pod on Instagram and the app formerly known as Twitter. Thank you so much, Trevin, who got in touch last week celebrating our 5th year anniversary of the podcast. Mad. It was very, very wholesome. We appreciate it so much. And to celebrate, we've just put out a limited edition run of merchandise for 1 week only.
Yes. If you are a skater boy, skater girl, or skater gender progressive, check out our new merchandise, our new t-shirt at Sappening Pod. It is gnarly, radical, and bodacious, as skaters would say.
I think they would. Sign to our Patreon for 10% off as well, and just get involved with our wonderful community at patreon.com/Sappening. But without any further ado, let's get straight into it. This is the wonderful Steph O'Sullivan of Greywind on episode 261 of Sappening Podcast.
Nice one. Thank you, Steph. Sappening!
Sappening!
That was a little one. I'm used to hearing that.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Sappening! Yay!
Yes!
Yay! Joining us at this time is the lovely Steph O'Sullivan from the mighty Greywind. Steph, how are you?
Yay! I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay.
Just okay. Not great.
Yeah, didn't really sleep too well. Was in and out, to be honest.
Oh.
Yeah, so mainly that. But anyway, thank you for coming on. That's the end of the episode.
Yay!
But no, Steph, so great to see you. I mean, like, obviously, we've wanted to do this for a while. We're always kind of joking around with stuff on social media. You've been on before talking about Blink-182, but it's about time you come on talking about stuff going on in the world of Greywind and everything behind the scenes, because it seems like you guys have just been incredibly busy lately. New single, you've been traveling a lot, you've been in LA. How's things at the moment? What's been going on? How are you feeling about everything?
everything recently has been amazing. I can't believe finally we have a new song out. I've said it to you, like you said, over social media for years. I'm like, soon, really soon. Like every band, big things are coming. Like, but yeah, it's been like a crazy journey. I hate that word, but it makes sense. But yeah, recently things have been great. It hasn't all been great. I'll get into that later. I'll make it all cry. Like it's the whole thing. But yeah, recently we're in LA. We're recording lots of new music. So there is more. We're not just going to release that one song and then disappear again for like 8 years. So.
How was just being out in LA and getting that kind of fresh perspective on everything?
Oh, it was amazing. Even we were working with Sam Guiana, and he's done like the new Neck Deep. He's done like Silverstein and stuff. So it was so good to go into a new environment. And I love America anyway, and LA. I'm one of those people that actually likes LA. So, so yeah, we're in the nice part. So it was good.
Yeah. How long were you over there?
We were there for 2 weeks because we were actually in Atlanta first doing a music video. And then we came home and went back again to do more songs and maybe another music video in Atlanta. So we've got a lot done. So I don't want to be home now. I just want to go again. It's fine.
Does your manager know how far away America is from Ireland? Like,
because I don't know. He's from America. So.
That's exactly why. He just thinks America's in the centre, and then all the other countries must just on the edge. Yeah, all the other countries are just on the edge. He's never looked at a map. The Black Hand used to have an American booking agent for the UK and Europe, and he may as well have been throwing darts at a map.
He just said that too.
Yeah, it was like Glasgow on a Monday, Tuesday, Munich, Wednesday, Cardiff. Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
It's like he just got a globe and just spun it. Yeah.
Where are they going today?
Let's go.
Antarctica. Yeah. Did you go out there with songs written, or did you go out there to write and get the songs recorded?
Yeah, we've had songs written. I mean, our last album was like 6 years ago, our first and so far last album. Don't worry, there's more people. I know. I'm very aware. But yeah, we had, before that album was even released, we were writing the song, which not a lot of people know, because we were going through a lot of the emotions of what these songs are about. So it was kind of weird releasing Afterthoughts, and then everyone was like, oh my god, this is great, and then we're like, no wait, we have better ones. or I want to sing about this stuff that's currently happening, but I can't, and then we didn't really want to talk about stuff because it was currently going on, and we're always very positive online. I never want to come across like, oh, the music industry, and I'm like, kind of, oh poor me, like, oh god, oh no, I get to play Download this week. It's like, we never wanted to come across as like that. But now everything's great, so.
And now you can come on here and moan about everything instead, because it's the best place to be.
The fucking music industry.
But no, it's fine. The current, like our manager now, he's great. So he's the good part of the industry.
Hmm. It's nice that those kind of connections have come through and everything. But no, let's dive into everything. You said there, I mean, Afterthoughts came out about 5-6 years ago, and around that time there was a lot of buzz around you guys. You were playing major festivals, you know, there was a lot of great publicity, but then it seemed to just kind of halt. Seems like the band kind of went on a pause for a little bit. Felt like you guys were being a bit restricted, not being able to be active as much. I mean, can you just explain like the situation and what actually has been going on for the last 5-6 years behind the scenes?
Yeah, so I'll start from the beginning in case anyone doesn't have a clue who the hell I am, which most people wouldn't. So I'm Steph. Hi, everyone. Nice to meet you. I've sang in Greywind with my brother, Paul. We're from a very small town in Killarney. I feel like I'm reading our bio. I'm not, I swear. we're from Ireland, and we could never find other band members when we wanted to start Greywind. And we were always looking for people. We auditioned a guy, even though we had never been on a stage. We were just auditioning a guy as if we'd ordered it. And he said no, obviously. And then we decided one day, let's just go up to Belfast and record a demo of a song just for ourselves. not for anyone. We had no fans. Like, we would just go busking on the street, and we did like YouTube covers, and we had like, it's like 2,000 subscribers. Like, it wasn't a big thing. Like, we recorded that song, we just put it up on YouTube, SoundCloud, all the usual things, and Spotify, I don't think even existed then. And then I think it was the next day or a couple of days later, we had all these major labels emailing us. And we were like, wait, we thought our friends were like making fun of us. Like, we thought it was a joke. Like, but then Paul Googled them and they were real people. Like, they had LinkedIns. So we were like, okay, they're real. And then they kept kind of flooding in all these emails, and then management started flooding in saying, who are you signed to? Oh my God. Oh, we love your song. And they, oh, did you have more songs? And me and Paul were like, yes, we have many. We had no old songs. That was it. We ended up like flying off to London for meetings with managements before labels, because we were like, we need to get a manager first. So we met with big management companies and stuff, and we ended up signing with big management company, and who like had all our favorite bands and stuff. So we were like, yeah, that's right, we'll go for that. And then we met with all the labels. It was a whole thing. And me and Paul are just these two kids from Ireland. Like, what is happening? Like, oh my God, this is what Jared Way feels like. Like, I had no clue, like what was going on. And you're kind of putting your trust into people like straight away. Like, this is our first band, had never played a live show before. Had just done a demo, and then like 2 weeks later, we're in London and we're talking to these people in suits, and you're like, okay. And they're like dissecting the lyrics saying, how did you write that? Like, trying to figure out how we've done it. And Paul was just like, yeah, I just wrote that. Like, we ended up then being sent to, we had like bones of songs. We were sent back to Belfast to do a couple more songs, because the management were like, they gave us like a 5-month deal at the start of the management. And then they sent us back up Belfast, and they were like, record some more songs. And then they were like, okay, yeah, here's a 5-year deal. So they kind of locked us in, and we were like, oh, this is great. Like, oh my God, they really believe in us, and they believe in us as songwriters, and a complete whirlwind. And then we were sent to Essex, and we met Jason Perry, and then we went to Texas and recorded a full album. I had a mental breakdown during that. That was the worst time of my life. I was crying every day. I was having panic attacks. It was horrific, but it worked. I always say it worked for the album, because the albums sound sad. It is sad, so it worked for the vocals, I guess. So if it sounds like I'm crying, I am. So it was really, really difficult, and it's like you're just thrown into it. And I felt this immense pressure of, okay, this is representing me for life. Like, this band is so important to me and Paul, and I didn't want to mess it up. I'm like, we hadn't played a show at that point, and I'm supposed to be the lead singer of a band. Like, I don't know what am I supposed to do, and how do I perform this, and how I wanted it to be perfect. And I'm so happy with how it's come out, and now people love it, and it's great. But I couldn't even listen to it. Even when we're getting mixes back, I was just trusting Paul to do it, because I couldn't listen to it without crying, because I could just hear how upset I was, and it brought back like all those emotions. But from the outside, I wouldn't say that. I like online, I'm like, oh my God, I'm in Texas, everything's great. Because I didn't want to seem ungrateful as well. I felt like a guilt of, oh my God, wait, Steph, all your dreams are coming true. You shouldn't feel like this. But I had that kind of imposter syndrome, I guess. And then we came back from Texas. And before the album was actually mixed, our management rang us and said, oh, we need to have a conference call or whatever. And they said, yeah, the label is dropping the 7 acts that didn't make them any money this year. So then we got dropped by the major label before the album was even mixed. And they were they had been singing along to it, and they were saying, oh, it's great and all that. So we were thinking, oh, it was just a bit of bad luck that we hadn't released anything anyway to make money for them, I guess. But they were nice enough to give us the rights back. Oh. They gave us our half, the other half of our events. Like, they were very kind. Like, so that part was good. But then I was like, oh God, no. That whole thing of feeling like I wasn't good enough. I thought, oh God, the label hated us. They hated it. And I was kind of that kind of devil on your shoulder. It's kind of saying all the bad things. And then Paul is so opposite to me. He's so positive. And he was like, no, it's fine. Everything's amazing. We have the rights, which he was right. Like, but I'm just so annoying. So then the management were like, no, it's fine. We have our own label through Universal, and we'll release it through that. Me and Paul were a bit kind of disheartened by that, but we trusted them and we were like, okay, we thought, oh, could you not shop it around again maybe or something, and you know, take our time with it. And like, we didn't even have fans at this point. Like, we had 10 fans and my mom, like, so you know, this isn't good, like, this isn't going the way, you know, when everything is like amazing. But even though it was difficult, but it was still good at the same time. That doesn't make sense, but you know what I mean. Then we ended up releasing the album. We did our first ever tour, and then before we re-released the song Afterthoughts, and then we did a tour around the UK with a band, and then everything was very spaced out. I don't know, Morgan, if you ever noticed that back in the day. Then the next show we played was, just say it was like Reading and Leeds in August. So the last show we played was April, and then there was a massive gap, and then you're thrown into Reading and Leeds, which again, I'm so grateful for, and it was amazing. And we put 110% into it, like we always do, but it's a bit like, okay, why is every other band touring even on the roster I'm on? What's wrong with us? What's wrong with me? And I actually, you start like questioning yourself. You find out, oh no, you're not cool enough. This band or this agent doesn't want you because you're not cool enough, or, oh, we can't get you on this, blah, blah, blah. And it's just a bit, you're not pop enough. You're not heavy. You're too heavy. And it's like, and then you're seeing every other band on the roster or in the world touring. And it's just, and then we're just sitting in Ireland and we're like, wait, we thought we did something special. Like, we're so proud of Afterthoughts. And then that kind of heightened my anxiety and my depression. Like, I couldn't get out of bed. It was horrible. But then again, online, we're like, everything's great, guys. Our album's coming out. Because I never wanted kind of bands or people. I always like music as an escape, and life's hard enough without then a singer or a band complaining about something. So yeah, then. It was, our album was supposed to come out in October of that year. And then me and Paul were like sending emails saying, we haven't toured. Like, we have no one to release it to. Like, it's not, this isn't good enough. And then, I don't know, did they not like us kind of talking back? Like, but they were like, okay, fine, we'll push the album. We'll push the album back a bit, and we'll try and get you this tour that's on so you can get a bit more fans. And then we found out that tour was in March and they wanted to release the album in January. So that made no sense. So it was just a lot of just back and forth of just messiness and just, and then, yeah. And people are like, oh, can you play here? Can you play here? And I'm like, I want to play everywhere, but I can. I'm not like allowed. And so then we just were like, can we just do our own show then? If no one wants us, if you just can't get a show, because I know how it works. You can't just say, oh, I want this show and you get it. Like, that's not how touring works. So we were like, let's just book our own shows. And then they were like, yeah, guys, but you're not going to sell any tickets. Like, me and Paul were like, I don't care if it's just my mom and dad and my dog. Like, let me just play a show. And then, so we booked London St. Pancras Church on the day our album was out, January 27th. And this was 2017. And then we ended up selling out. And we were like, yeah, see, what would have happened if we were touring all this time? Like, yeah. And like, that's the different country. Like, we're from Ireland. So to sell out a show in London for us, that was massive. And we had like fans coming from like Czech Republic and Spain and all around the place and Ireland. And they loved it. And people crying and getting tattoos and stuff and showing us like the logo tattooed at our first headline show. And we're just thinking, what is happening? Why can't they see that something special is happening, like in these tiny moments where we are in front of fans? I remember we played the set and then the management left to go see another band on the roster, support another band at Wembley, and they just didn't even celebrate with us. And they kind of, it was very hurtful. I remember just going back to, I think we were staying at someone's house, and I was just sitting there and I was like, Steph, don't cry. You're meant to be happy. And I just felt so like alone. And even though Paul was obviously going through the exact same thing, it was like an elephant in the room we didn't talk about. We were like, no, we're meant to be happy. Like, and then Paul would try and be positive so I wouldn't start crying or start having a panic attack or something. So it was such a weird time. We didn't play a show again until, again, 6 months later, and we were playing Rock and Ring in Germany. So from the outside, it looks like, oh my God, you're playing these massive things, but you were just thrown into them. And then we're in, and we found out, actually, it was like a few weeks before, we found out that the Rock and Park, it was Rock and Ring and then Rock and Park. And we found out Rock and Park was going to be in an arena. And we were thinking, oh God, how no one's going to be there. And we walked out and there's people chanting Kerry. That's where we're from, County Kerry. And they're like, have Irish flags and they're like swinging their shirts. And we were thinking, what? How, again, how can they see something kind of special? Yeah. Like there's people that genuinely love us. And then even those moments are what kind of helped me so much, seeing that fans, and even when people would send us messages on Instagram and Twitter and stuff, just saying how much our music has saved them and helped them through anxiety and depression and stuff. And they wouldn't have even known. I was probably a bit crying reading that, and they wouldn't have known. So that's why I never wanted to kind of, even now I'm saying it, but like at the time, because now I'm in a nice place, but it was that was kind of why I'm always so grateful to our fans as well, because they don't even know how much they've saved me and Paul. When we get messages saying how we've saved them, like that means the world, because they didn't even know what we were going through at that time. So then we came back from Rock and Ring, again, sitting in Ireland and just working on these songs still. And we're thinking, oh my God, all that pain. It was a few months later again, and Paul got a phone call from someone at the management. I wasn't on the phone call because apparently I don't exist, but yeah, that's another story. Was basically told, oh yeah, we're just going to drop you. We have too many acts that are releasing albums next year and all the rest. It was like a minute phone call. It was very dead, like no. And Paul had to come in and tell me, and I was broken. I was like, you know that cry where you're just bellowing and you're just so that? I thought, oh God, our career, like this is like what? And then the next day our agent dropped us because they didn't want to work with us because we didn't have management anymore. And it was just a whole thing. So basically it was just me and Paul again. And it was, and then Paul, again, being so positive, even though he was, I know he's hurting as well, but he's trying to be happy for me and try and keep me upbeat. And he was like, no, it's fine. It's fine. We'll get through this. Everything's great. Like nothing has changed. He was like, we still have these songs. We still have this album. There was always there was always this elephant in the room, as I said, of we, through all this happening, we still didn't fully trust these people. It hit a point. It was when we got dropped by the major label and they were like, oh no, we release it. We kind of were like, okay, they don't really care. And I feel like they lost interest when that happened. Me and Paul always kind of knew that. And we never kind of said it out loud, but we both knew it. Cause I feel like when we were with them, we always didn't want to feel like we were talking behind their back. Cause again, we were so respectful. We were always the nice ones and we were always polite and would never say anything bad. And then we thought, wait, the time we were dropped and got the rights back, the newer label didn't put a record deal in front of us. We didn't sign anything. Oops. Hey. So we straight away got a lawyer and we're like, yeah, you didn't. You actually forgot to put a record deal in front of us because that proves the lack of care. And it shows, you know, sometimes I always, when I say this story, I don't want to come across like bitter or, you know, this. And I'm, oh boo boo, I played Rock and Ring. Like I'm aware of that. I'm so proud. And that was amazing. I know not a lot of people can do that, but it shows the lack of care when someone forgets to put a record deal in front of you.
Well, very much yeah. So. Yeah. And yeah. I think when if I was in your position, the day the management phoned you and let you go, that would have been the biggest fucking sigh of relief to me and my friends. If that had happened the other way around, like, I wish I could have been there to tell you, like, for your agent to drop you after your management, right? What the fuck was your agent doing it? Your booking agent doing exactly, anyway, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I wish I'd known all this at the time, because I literally would have given you the pep talk. It's, you've got it all. You've got the fucking record. You don't need this fucking useless management, whoever they fucking were. They yeah. sound fucking dreadful. Yeah. Then the agent who did fuck all for, like, how does the agent, right? How can I book an agent? They make money off you touring. And then they're like, oh, do you know what? What the fuck? Is Elon Musk?
Exactly.
What the fuck? Like, they must not have liked money. It just doesn't make sense.
I know. I've tried to wrap my head around that for seven years.
So much better off. You're so much better off, though. Oh. Yeah, you were just about to say about the lawyers, you got the record back.
They were like, they signed a deal. They have it here. It's in New York in an office. I've never been to New York. No, that's incorrect. Like, they literally don't, like, that didn't happen. And they were like, no. And this went on for like 2 years. Back and forth. No. And then at one point, the manager were like, why do they even want it back? It didn't even sell a lot. Like, why do they even want it back?
Oh, why do you want to keep it then, you? Why do you want to keep it then, you cunt?
Exactly. Whoa. So it was just like that, back and forth, and then little comments, and then back and forth, and no, was it Joan or something in New York? Never met a Joan. Like, I literally don't know. Joan doesn't exist. Like, we Google Joan. Yeah, so it was like that, back and forth, and then COVID hit. And then this was still kind of going on, but obviously the world like shut down. So then it was 2021, they gave up and were like, yeah, here. You didn't sign a record deal. Like, yeah, it's yours. They took everything off Spotify, YouTube, and then we re-uploaded it, and they finally kind of admitted. I think COVID, that was a good part of COVID for us, because I feel like so much was happening with bands and stuff that they were probably just like, oh my God, go away. Like, stop annoying us. And I think they thought probably as well, okay, like Grey Wind, they can't go on. Like, COVID's now happened. That's going to just kill them off completely. But whereas me and Paul are like, oh no, I'm not stopping until people are hearing these new songs. I'm not releasing a single note of music, because when we do, people will go back and listen to Afterthoughts. And I don't want those people who affected my mental health and Paul's mental health and tried to ruin us completely to get a cent of money. Not that it's ever about money, but to those people it is. And me and Paul were very adamant to that. So yeah, that happened. And then there's more. Then before COVID, we got another manager. We got the album back, and then he was like, okay guys, let's release a new song then. So we released our song Am I Asleep. Me and Paul had visuals for that for years. I always knew, okay, I want the yellow suit, I want that power color, because when we come back and people see us for the first time in like 5 years, it's like, okay, we're back, I'm powerful, I'm bleach blonde. Like, I'm not sad. Well, I am sad, but not as much anymore. The manager at the time, again, just didn't ask, didn't care what we were doing. It was like, oh yeah, like, me and Paul did all that. We sorted it all. It was as if we were just managing ourselves, basically. Early last year or the year before, he texts us saying he's dropping us because we made him no money during COVID.
What do these people expect?
I know. But me and Paul were laughing at that point. That one didn't really hurt. Like, that was fine. That one.
You've had the heartbreak already. This one's just fine. Yeah, whatever.
I was like, that guy's just dumb. Like, it's fine. And then it was just kind of us again. It was us again. And then this time around, it was more like, okay, it was a bit like, oh God, it's just us again. Like, and he also had told our agent, who we're no longer with anymore as well, to not book us shows. So that was weird. So there's loads of layers. So I could write a book, like, about things. Then Paul was like, it's fine. You know what? We're going to take over emo TikTok. I've just decided. I feel like it's time. I was just like, okay. It was Monday. On the Wednesday, Paul posted a video of our song. I think it was Car Spin or Afterthoughts. I can't remember which one. Had 500,000 views. And we were like, what? Oh my God, what? When Paul says something, he's good at manifesting and all that. It's very weird. Sometimes I think he's psychic. But yeah, and then we got, that was like the most views we've ever got on something. Oh my God. And then there was people saying, oh my God, how have I not found you? And then a week later, he uploaded Afterthoughts and I got 1 million views. And we were thinking, oh my God, I bought a gnome. I went out to Tesco and bought a gnome to celebrate. Like,
the celebratory gnome. We've all done it.
I was like, I didn't know what else to do. I got my gnome. Then uploaded our song In Autumn. What got like 1.8 million on TikTok. And then he uploaded it to Reels. 5.8 million. and Fred Durst is doing fire emojis, and I'm buying more gnomes. I'm like, I don't know what to do. And then it was as if we got to release the album. It literally felt like we had just released our album, and we were, because to the world, we're a new band. They don't know that we've been around, like, but we haven't been active for like 6 years, so technically we are. So yeah, it was just all crazy. So now that led us to meet our new manager, Casey from the Wonder Years, who's amazing, and he gets it because he's in a band as well. Everything right now is great. I don't know what's going to happen next. I'm scared.
No, but I super appreciate you being able to share all that with us and everything. And it's so nice to see now that you're finally getting the recognition you deserve for all this, and all the hard work is starting to pay off a lot more. Because yeah, there's so many juxtapositions within those last 6 years. And for anyone else, I think it would leave such a sour taste in their mouth that they might want to walk away from music, or maybe change the name, start again. But you've really persevered. I mean, you've talked a lot about having like those really dark moments in between the good times. Was there ever points where you guys were thinking like, maybe we start again, maybe we change the name, maybe we do something or different? Or were two of you just like, no, we've come too far now, we need to stick it out and get to this point?
I thought, oh God, I need to quit. But then I knew I wasn't going to quit. Like deep down, I say it when I'm in when you're in that bad place and you're just like, oh no, the world is over. Like everyone hates me, everything. No, and we have no fans. Oh my God, I'm not good. I can't sing. I went through like 3 years of genuinely thinking I couldn't sing. Like I kept saying to Paul, I was like, I can't sing. My voice is gone. No, my voice is gone. I can't sing. Like, because I started to believe all of the, like, but I was told previously by management and stuff, oh, you're singing too loud, you won't get signed by a publisher, you need to sing quieter, and just all of that. Then I started to believe, and I was going through all of previous things that were said to us, and I thought, okay, no, we're done, like we can't. And Paul was like, Steph, shut up, like just shut up. Like Paul, and he, I always said, if I'm so lucky that I'm in a band with my brother and my best friend and my like hype man, because I don't know where I'd be right now if it wasn't for Paul. Like, and our fans, again, they don't realize how much they helped me personally through that happening, because that was the worst time of my life, but I wouldn't change a thing. It was the best learning experience of my life. I'm so happy that happened, because I wouldn't be sitting here right now in the place we are now. I wouldn't have gone to LA last month and done these new songs. It just wasn't the right time. And I do believe stuff happens for a reason, even though that was traumatic, but I'm glad it happened.
Well, yeah, my main takeaway from all that, and what I got all the way through your story then when you were telling it, was that you put too much faith in music industry people.
Yeah.
When really, it's just about you and the fans. That's fucking it. So yeah, from now on, moving forward.
Fuck. Oh, don't worry.
This is the thing. It's like Creeper last week. It's like, I don't know if you saw, but Creeper played a show on the weekend, and Green Day were meant to be playing the Electric Ballroom in London the same night. Green Day shit out.
They cancelled, didn't they? Yeah.
And cancelled. Yeah, yeah. They got scared of playing to a big room like Electric Ballroom and pulled out. And then all the music industry people fucking resubmitted their guest list places for Creeper. So Creeper did a sign. Creeper had, because they've got that girl, haven't they, that represents whatever. I think she's a character or something. She came out and she read a big thing saying, thank you very much to the fickle music industry for resubmitting your last minute guest list after Green Day pulled out. It's nice to see you again.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
But that's exactly how it is. Like, the most important people to you are Paul and your fans, and that should be it. As long as you're keeping yourselves happy, that's the main thing. And then the second biggest thing is fans. Fuck the music industry. Fuck manager. I know they can be good. I know they help a lot. But you've been through the fucking ringer with fucking terrible managers and booking agents. And I'm genuinely, genuinely livid on your behalf.
Like, I felt, that's how I felt the past like 6 years. But now I'm like, oh my God, like it led me to I've been to therapy, though. It's helped me in my life for even just other like friendships, relationships. It's helped like that happening. That's why I said it's such a good learning curve, because it's changed me as a person. When we started, we were so young and naive and thinking, oh my God, nothing bad can ever happen. And oh, my dreams are coming true. Like I'm living in a Disney movie. Whereas it's like, no, life doesn't work that way. And it led me to, obviously it affected my mental health horrifically, but it's got me now to a place that I feel like even to ban sorrying out, I feel like I can help. Hearing if people are listening and hurt and can hear our sorry and think, oh my God, they got through that. I feel like I could literally get through anything. Like I said, when that last manager dropped us, I was laughing. Whereas if that had happened like a couple of years before, I would have been crying and been having panic attack, and it would have been horrible. But it's, and I'm not saying, oh, everything's fixed now. I still suffer. I'm not like, oh, everything's fixed. I'm not like, you know, it's, yeah, I still have my days. Like, but then I know how to kind of get out of that now. I've learned how to cope, I guess. And I feel like, yeah, any, like you said, Sean, of the music industry, I can't stand it. But I'm in it, so I have to just endure it.
But that's the thing as well. Like you say there, like so many people just see the highs, because that's the only thing we can really talk about with things. And you don't see everything else you're kind of dealing with and the obstacles you've had to go through in between. And as much as the industry is absolutely full of people sometimes are just trying to make money off of you, it's great when you do have a tight-knit community of people and find the right people who want to help. I know exactly. Casey's been so supportive with everything. It seems like it's been the perfect fit as well. And yeah, I'm really excited going forward. I'm glad that like this kind of chapter's kind of been closed now, and you can start kind of fresh and still having all this excitement behind you. But yeah, saying about TikTok, I mean, geez, you guys have become the emo king and queen of just reels and everything. Like the amount of Americans finding Irish emo is absolutely insane. I keep seeing either people like doing those old school reacting videos on YouTube and stuff, and discovering you guys. Despite everything you've just mentioned that happened, it must be so wholesome and another world experience to see that album 6 years later is getting discovered and you're becoming people's favorite band.
That's what I'm... It felt like we released that album last year, and I feel like people actually know who we are now, and people are connecting to the songs. Like I said, not to bring it up again, but we were told no one's connecting to the song, guys. Like, is there at all? I remember at my show, our first ever headline show, my mom only told me this last year, because she was probably waiting for the right moment. She probably knew she couldn't handle it the past 6 years. So I think it was around Christmas. She's like, okay, let's ruin Christmas. She said at that first headline show we played in London, she said one of the management said to her and my dad, yeah, there's only three good songs on Afterthoughts. My poor parents. And so even my parents have had to like listen to that. And it's just like, so seeing now fans who actually love it and get it, and people like the people that actually matter love it, means so much. And even my mom and dad, like my dad's watching those reaction videos every day on YouTube, like, you know. And it's just so nice to have something positive happen when we were surrounded by such toxic negativity. It's just so nice seeing, like you said, seeing TikTok people, all these Americans who just love it. Like most of our fan base now are American, which is my dream. Like, no offense to everyone else, I love everyone. Don't worry. I want to tour the world, just to confirm, because we're deprived of touring. So don't worry, we will tour every. I'll go to Antarctica. Like, I will.
You literally have 6 years of touring to make up for. You just need every day on the road at this point, I reckon. Soon you start announcing tours, you're not going to stop.
I know. I just want to go. Like, I just want to go. Casey, get us on tour.
Well, let's stick with the positive side of it, and let's embrace it all. I mean, yeah, you talk about all those comments. Some of my favorite things I've seen is people say that Grey Wind is the love child of Mike Hem and Blink-182. I've seen people call you the female Jared Way, the female Adam Lazara. We've called you the female Tom DeLonge. I mean,
you and
What do you feel like when you see these comments now? Because they're all bands that you love very dearly. So to get those kind of reactions and comparisons, I'm sure, is just it's just very wholesome at the same time.
It's crazy because it's like you said, they're all my favorite bands. I had their posters on my wall. That's the reason Gerard Way is the reason I'm in a band. So I feel like people get it. They get, I feel like for once, the people, the fans can hear it and they can see it. It's like me being over dramatic and doing all those facial expressions and stuff. I just do that because Gerard Way does it. Or Adam Lazara, like swinging his mic and stuff. I'm still practicing my mic swing. Like I'm trying. It's like that's what I grew up on. And I used to go to all those shows. I remember following Taking Back Sunday around England, like when I was like 15. Like I literally followed around on tour and was queuing up outside. I was that weird girl that just would queue all day to see them. And it was just, that's what I know. That's what I grew up loving. And I know then seeing fans say that about us means so much to us. And that's why we'll always reply to people online and messages and stuff. Because I used to be on MySpace messaging bands. And when they'd reply, I'd know what it would feel like. But when they replied, that would make my whole year. Like I still talk about it. Like so I know what it feels like. And seeing even people getting tattoos and stuff, it's just, I feel like a girl in America got "We Swore" our lyric across her forearm in massive writing. My dad was so annoyed. He was like, "She got a..." But it's like people genuinely care, and we've hadn't experienced that, so it's just so, we're so grateful. And we're just so, every day I'm just like, oh my god, when I wake up and just read the comments. And like, Paul is the best social media. People think we have a social media manager, it's just Paul. He's just so good at that, and he loves it. Because I feel like for him, finally, as well, getting to promote our band, I feel like that's why I know a lot of people criticize TikTok and stuff, but I feel like it is the best way. If you're in a band, you can be put in front of people if you just keep uploading. I mean, we were uploading on TikTok for like a year before we first went viral, but we were just, we didn't say, this is what an Irish emo rock band sounds like. We just didn't find our people yet. So just, yeah. Basically, the moral of the story is keep going in life.
Yes, very much so. Very much. I wonder if you've got like a massive fan base in like Boston, because that's like a very Irishy.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, I think we do. I know all the Irish people live there. So they're like, yeah. Ireland. My grandfather is Irish. Yeah, so and like Chicago and stuff. So yeah, I think New York and stuff. So we have all the stats and places of that. I just cannot wait till when we go to America and even England again. Like we're long overdue, and we may have something coming up very soon. I won't say too much, but very soon we'll be announcing something for the UK people.
Nice. So I can't wait for that. When you mentioned recording with Jason Perry in Texas, was it Sonic Ranch?
Yes, Sonic Ranch. Yeah. You were there,
Did you meet Tony? the guy owned it.
Tony. Yeah, Tony. Oh, my God, Tony. He looked like a character out of Kill Bill, and I love it so much.
Every day, he would be wearing, like, four different outfits, right? So he'd have, like, he had a child's hat on, right, with the little spinning thing on top, right? And then he had, like, a dress. He had, like, a suit jacket on. But then he'd be, like, a vest underneath. Then shorts. And you're like, bro, what are you going? What's this? What's going
what are you doing?
Did he bring any of his guns?
Yeah, we did shoot guns, and everyone around me was like, Steph, no, there's a video of me shooting. They were like, Steph, no, because it was like the pushback of it. I was too small. It was a whole thing. And then everyone was just running. I was like, put the gun down. But yeah, it was the whole thing. But yeah, it scared me a lot. But it was good. And the T-Hawks, you know, the tarantula hawks, did you see them? Those things. Oh, God. Those. Jason waited till we were in the airport in America getting a connecting flight to Texas to tell me about those. Because he knew I wouldn't have gone if I knew those were there.
Yeah. It's lovely. Yeah. It's lovely there. But yeah, Tony's fucking mental. Powerful handgun. The big powerful handgun. I nearly hit myself in the face with it. I think there's a video footage of Alid from Kids in Glass Houses actually hit himself in the face with it.
Why isn't the singers always just like, can't handle it?
Weak arms. We've all got weak arms. That's what it is. From not carrying. It's from never carrying anything.
Also, no offense to you guys, but who's trusting you lot with guns? I mean...
Fucking crazy Tony and his quarter of an arsenal. When we were there, he brought like 20 guns with him, and then he was like, is that everything you own, Tony? He was like, it's not even a quarter of my arsenal. I was like, you've got, number one, you've described it as an arsenal. Number two, you don't have enough hands.
Well, he's definitely killed people.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah, I'm sure he told us that he bought one of the guns off a drug dealer to stop his girlfriend getting killed by the drug dealer. I've said too much. Anyway, let's move on. I know Tony listens every week, so sorry about that, Tony. Sorry if I've outed you.
Jason Perry in his mad recording experiences, oh, no. Right? Dying. I mean, wow.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
honestly. But no, I mean, you mentioned there about just all those kind of just reactions and everything. Is there anything in particular or anyone who's reached out that's really just blown you away? You said about Fred Durst. Is there being anyone that's just, or anything you've seen that's really this made everything really worthwhile?
Do you know Anthony Green from Circus of Mine and Ellis Dunes? He reached out and he followed us, and I'm like, they're... Like, he's literally one of my idols. People, I remember growing up, would say, oh my God, you sound like Anthony Green. My mom thought I was singing once when it was Anthony Green, when I was playing Circus of Life. I was like, how is that? I was like, how would that possibly be me? I'm not in a band. How would that music be around me? So yeah, Anthony Green, and he sent really lovely messages, and he's been so nice. And that's like, I remember seeing Circus of Life in Manchester when I was like 14. And it was still one of the best shows I've ever been to. So to now be in my own band and to have one of your idols reach out to you, that's just so cool. It's just really cool. So that's very special. And I'm trying to think who else. I don't even know. Just anyone that compares me to Gerard Way, I love.
I wonder if Anthony's shown Frank.
Oh, I would collapse. I'd start crying again, like in a good way. I'd love that. Like, Microchromance, they, like I said earlier, they're the reason I'm in a band. I remember meeting Mikey Way actually when we played Leeds Festival, and I couldn't speak. I had to get our guitarist to introduce me and say, can I get a picture? Because I couldn't speak. I was so nervous. it's a whole thing. So Gerard, if you're listening, we have a song that we want you to be on. So yeah.
Let's make that happen.
Put it out there.
Yes.
Gerard, if you're listening, I've got a podcast I'd like you to be on.
Exactly.
Let's get a twofer. Yeah. Leah, let's get a deal.
If he's on the podcast, can I just like join for just 5 minutes?
Yeah. Why not? His brother wants it to happen. Mikey has said he wants that to happen, but I don't know why. I don't like, yeah, but who fucking knows? But On that same vein, you said about the big influence of just the like aesthetics and kind of changing up styles and the facial expressions and everything like that. How much preparation do you go into when maybe doing a video or writing songs? Do you think about the exterior overall, not just kind of sonically, but everything else that will come with it eventually?
Yeah, well, so usually how we write is Paul will basically write like a rough draft of the song, and then on an acoustic guitar, he'll bring it to me, we'll get our voice memos out on the iPhone, and then we'll just work on it together, and we'll add lyrics and add more melodies, and I'll just start singing loud and just coming up with extra little bits. And yeah, even when we're writing a song, we always, the visuals are so important to us, and artwork, and because that's what I love seeing, like you said, like My Chemical Romance, growing up seeing that, I love that whole, their aesthetic and the music videos, and it's not just, it's more the music, you're investing into something bigger than that, and I love that, and so that's the type of band I always wanted to be in. And even like, I remember when we were writing our song Car Spin, we always said like, this song needs to be, we need to go to LA in like the night sky with the city lights and all this. And we were like, I don't know how we're getting to LA, but we got there. We paid for ourselves. The label at the time didn't pay. So we always have believed in our vision. And even like I said, with Am I Asleep, I knew I wanted that yellow suit, like Kill Bill, power, like powerful woman. I wanted that. And even when I bleached my hair, that was when we were actually going through all of that. And I don't know, was that out of being sad or whatever, but I'm so glad I did. Like, it's, my hair is dead, but I love it. So Sean, you probably know about bleaching hair. So.
Oh yeah. I gotta get mine done very soon. Yeah. I look fucking wild at the moment. It looks like crazy highlights.
Well, when they announced their comeback, that was the big question. Everyone was, well, I got DMs, people going, is he gonna dye his hair? And I was like, what are you asking me for?
What's wrong with people? Oh. Yeah. Literally, I saw videos from us at Download. So basically, the Blackout played Download on a Friday. On a Monday, we did our first like show in 8 years in our hometown in Merthyr. It was a small show. I had brown hair of that. On the Wednesday, I thought, oh, I'll dye it blonde and have it blonde for Download on Friday. Yeah. Nice little touch. Nobody will give a fuck. And then dyed it blonde. I seen about three videos of people going, oh my God, he's blonde. And I was like, it's not a superpower. Like,
it's a thing.
I've got a shinier head.
It is a thing. They say when you dye your hair blonde, like, it does make a difference. I don't know what it is. It's a power move. Like,
yeah, apparently. So I've got to fucking dye it again now before February.
You should.
So what you're both saying is I need to dye my hair blonde. Is that basically what?
Yeah, you can
have a bash.
We should look like triplets or something.
Yeah, I think I look like the odd one out, to be fair. But who knows? But that's like the beard, black. Like, it's the whole thing. We're digressing. With these new songs, I know you said some of them you've worked on since God knows when. Is it a mixture of things and ideas you've had in the bag and sitting on, and fresh perspectives on stuff? I mean, how have you gone into LA and just kind of on the music?
So we had, so like I said, some of these songs, all of these songs were written before even Ashcast was out. So all of that was just, a lot of them haven't changed, like lyrically maybe a little bit, but they're like, and obviously working with Sam and Casey, they've obviously given their producer heads on it, and it's just been so good to kind of express even like more of the bands that we love, like our new song Antidote. That's us like saying, okay, there's a little nod to Blink-182, that pop punk world, which we've never dived into before, but it's something we've wanted to, but it wouldn't have fit with Afterthought because that's a like a alternative kind of emo album. So it's so nice to be able to lean into those types of bands that we love. And then we obviously have the classic Greywind sound and in our other songs, and then we're leaning into more My Chemical Romance, more Fall Out Boy, more, and I'm doing stuff with my voice that I've been too scared to do before, and it's really fun. I just love this experience because, like I said before, I felt so much pressure, so it was so nice to go into a studio and be confident and be excited and So yeah, these basically, to answer your question, sorry, I've gone on a massive rant. these songs, me and Paul literally will just sit in our living room and just have the acoustic guitar and just go through, sing through them. And we can, me and Paul, weird, I don't know, does anyone else do this, where we can just hear how it sounds. Because we can't practice with the full band a lot, obviously. So, but we could just hear it. I don't know, it's really weird. And we do harmonies. We don't use GarageBand. We do harmonies through the voice memo. Like, we'll record it once. I get my phone then, press record, Paul adds lead guitar, and I'll sing some harmonies. And then we record it back into the one phone that it's all on. It's so weird, but it works. It works for us. And I feel like if the song sounds good in the worst possible form, then it, you know.
Well, a good song should work acoustically. So, if you start it acoustically, it obviously has the foundations to go on to be a fantastic bigger song. But then you mentioned then, like, it's difficult to get in to do rehearsals with a full band and stuff. So what does Grey Wind have to do? We've got a gig. You've got a gig booked next week, right? Sean's booked you a gig.
Yay, finally.
I've been your agent for about 50 minutes now, right? I've already got you a gig, right? We got a gig next week. What's the next? All right, how do we sort that out? What's the next step in the Grey Wind situation?
But we'll text our session musicians. We have we have a bunch of different ones. Like, sometimes if you see us, there could have been two other people there or three other people there. And then there'll be two other random people. We have like a little roster of people, because sometimes people have normal jobs and families and stuff. So you kind of have to have multiple people. But yeah, so we just it's usually me and Paul fly over to London, rehearsal room or wherever. And before it was Eastbourne for a while, because our lead guitarist at the time, he was down in Eastbourne. So we just rehearse and then thrown into the show, because I feel like we're so used to the high pressure situations. Like, it, we do like 1 or 2 days, 3 days max. I think 3 days is the most we've ever got to rehearse, stuck in a row. So I can't wait to tour, so then we can feel like we've actually practiced. Sorry, everyone.
We always have a constant joke with everyone about the come to Brazil memes, but with you, it's just come any, like, just go just somewhere. Just do something.
Yeah. From now on, all the comments are, do something!
Just stop, please.
A gig anywhere, please, record it, send it to us.
Don't worry, next year, I promise from my heart, like, I don't lie, I keep my promises. Everything's good, we have an agent now who's good, well, don't worry, everything's good. And anyone listening as well, fans can help. If you want us to play with someone, tell the band, because that does really help. Because sometimes having an agent and a manager, that's still not enough. It isn't. You have to make bands aware of you, and you have to make friends and stuff. But I'm in Ireland, it's hard to make friends. I have like 2 friends.
No, word of mouth is definitely the biggest help in the industry.
Exactly.
100%.
Yeah.
And it's just, we're just super excited for you, and just to see that now that you're in this place, and even to say that you're trying different things in the studio and you're trying different things in your voice, and to think you're at that mindset now where you were just telling us a few years ago you were worried that you couldn't even sing is beautiful. Yeah. And it's just nice you've got this team around you, you're all in a good place, and yeah, we're just really excited to see what's next with their all. Is there a big plan at the moment with more music, or are you just kind of taking it one step at a time?
No, there's a plan. Don't worry. Like I said earlier, it's not going to be one song and then we'll disappear. We have other songs that are recorded. No, they're recorded.
It's two songs. It's two songs and then disappear.
No, there's more. There's more than two songs. I can promise you that.
With it being that kind of sibling energy with the band as well, you said there that the two of you can just like hear everything before it was written. Do you think, it would just be completely different being in the band with anyone else that wasn't Paul? Do you think you two have just, that connection is just what makes Grey Wind Grey Wind, and that if you guys just went off and did your own separate project, it just wouldn't be the same?
Yeah, no, I actually couldn't imagine. Like, I Paul is like the hardest working person I know in life. Like, I've never seen anything like it. He just doesn't stop. He barely sleeps. Like, I'll get up in the night to go down and get a glass of water and his light's on. He's just posting TikToks, or he's making TikToks, or he's doing something to do with Grey Wind. Like, he just doesn't stop. And it's so, I'm so lucky to have that. And even just as a brother and as a best friend, like, he's just so good. He's just so good. And a lot of people can't say that about siblings. Like, when we fight, it's about the dumbest things. Like, it's not about ever about Grey Wind. Like, we've never, always when it comes to music, I always feel like we have the same brain when it comes to that, because we just love the same bands. We love the same movies. So, like, references and stuff of, like, even like the, like, I was on about the aesthetic earlier. We're always on the same page when it comes to that. And for that, I'm so lucky. So I could not imagine anyone else in the world. Watch us break up next year.
Yeah, do a giant
I hate
racist.
My brother. Yeah, I hate my brother. Says Steph O'Sullivan. Massive, yeah, massive news article next year. Front of Quran.
When you said about silly thing, well, when you do argue, what are the silly things you argue about?
Oh, I don't know. Like, I actually can't, it rarely happens. I'm trying to think. Like, I'm actually trying to think. Like, it's like, oh, you took that last biscuit in the cupboard, like, literally. Oh, okay. That, like, you know, when I say stuff, silly, yeah. I mean, oh, well, to be fair, that is very intense. Like,
yeah, it is, yeah.
Or like, or oh, you sold my Lucozade Sport out of the fridge. I was thirsty. Like, the dumbest. It's just stupid, like, it's stupid, but it's fine. At least if it was like, oh, I hate that. I've never had a reaction where I'm like, he brings a song to me and I'm like, oh my god, I hate that. I've always, thank god, always loved everything he ever shows me. And if I show something, I always get nervous to show Paul stuff because he's, I always feel like he's so good that I get scared to like bring ideas, but I've got better at it. And Paul's like, just show me. It's fine. So yeah.
Well, yeah, what's the worst he can say is no. Like, it's not
exactly,
he's not gonna be like, do you know what, I disown you.
He might, we don't know.
how bad would an idea have to be, right? For you just like, oh, Paul, I've had this thing for a chorus. I just want to go for a big, like, sound. And he goes, that's it. We're no longer family. Not even. I can't even be in a band with you. Like, that's it. Everything. We're done.
I don't know you.
Disowned. Change your name. Yeah. Mad. Bunkers. But yeah, this has been a fantastic chat. Very, very insightful. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy this for the ups and downs and ultimately the positive end that we're currently facing, and we're all going to enjoy watching you grow as we have been doing so far. So yeah, very, very excited for what comes next for you. And
thank
we
you.
Can't wait.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Well, before you go, one thing I did want to bring up very quickly, and I think, you know, no one else is going to care about this, but it's just something I want to know. We've got a lot of similarities, me and Steph, right? We're all our favorite bands are the same. Taking Back Sunday, Jimmy Eat World, My Chemical Romance, yeah. Right? We love a little Instagram posts every now and again. But the biggest thing is we're both massive Man United fans. So my question to you is, how much does that help being extremely emo? Because it helps me a whole lot.
that helps. Well, at the moment, Man United are so bad. But we won the other day, so it's fine. I love it because it's a nice escape as well. I've always loved Man United. Like, my dad literally has a Man United tattoo. Like, I was born into it. Like, and his dad, my granddad, loved Man United. So it's like a whole thing. And yeah, it's such a good escape. As well, I know sometimes people are like, oh, I don't sports when you're a music fan, but it's so good. It's so fun. I went over to Old Trafford earlier this year. Paul actually surprised me because I was sad. So again, isn't he so good? So yeah, we went over to Old Trafford and oh my God, I'm screeching. Like, I'm so sorry if anyone ever sees me at a Man United match because it's bad. Like, I saw Harry Maguire score an own goal in front of my eyes. It was a whole thing. I was screaming. Yeah, sorry.
Don't get me started on him. Yeah. That's one guest we will never have on this podcast. Yeah, very sorry.
Yeah. I don't know anything about football. I know Harry Maguire is not really good.
Sorry, Harry, if you're listening.
Yeah. I know he's no Steve Bruce or Gary Pallister. I know that much.
There we are. There's the references.
Amazing. My references are 1994 to 1996, and that's it. I can name your whole team. I'll name your whole team, but yeah.
My first crush was David Beckham. I had a Mrs. Beckham jersey, and then Ronaldo came, had the Mrs. Ronaldo shirt. Oh. It was a whole thing. That was my face. And then I discovered My Chemical Romance and became very emo. And I was like ashamed. Yeah, Mrs. Wade. I was ashamed of the jerseys for a while. Like I was like, okay, I was secretly like a Men in Black fan during my emo thing. It was all thing. Teenagers are weird.
Yeah, if there's any sort of My Chemical Romance, Manchester United collaboration in the future, you are the poster person for it, really.
I'm just all over that.
Well, there we are. I just wanted to shoehorn that in a little bit, but no, Steph,
I love it.
Thank you so much for taking the time. Thank you for being so open and honest with us. Yeah, as I said, we've wanted to do this for a long time. It's so nice that you're at this stage now, and we're so excited about what's next.
Yes, thank you so much. I've been so excited to finally do this. So thank you for having me.
Reminders going forward, fuck the industry. Don't give a fuck what any of those cunts think, right? Or say. Even music reviews, right? Magazine reviews. They can literally love you 1 minute and fucking hate you the next, right? It does. None of their opinion fucking matters. It's people who like your band. Let's keep that fucking in mind going forward.
Yay. I love that.
Don't forget us when you've got Paramore supporting you.
Don't worry. I'll be back. I'm here. And we'll have some Moved by a Gnome together or something.
Yes. Here we are. Smashing Celebration Gnomes. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're listening to Sammy Podcast. Fantastico! Ooh. Yes, that was a mighty Steph. Oh, mighty. She's massive. She's mighty. She's a big warrior. But that's inside she is. She's fucking fantastic. The fact that they've got through everything they've fucking been through is fucking fantastic. So thank you very much to Steph O'Sullivan from Grey Wind. This was a riveting, interesting, emotional roller coaster of a ride. Everything they've been through. I'm so glad they've stuck with it. And yes, Antidote's a ripper. And I cannot wait for more.
Yeah, I'm literally so, so excited. I didn't realize half the stuff they have to go through. I think they've bottled this up for so long and they've done so well not to just kind of get fed. I think a lot of people in their situation would have just had a rant online about it all. And the fact that they've kept it completely to themselves and just had their head down, worked on new stuff, shows a lot about their character. And I really appreciate the fact that Steph finds herself comfortable enough with the two of us to finally talk about everything. I consider her and Paul kind of old school online friends. Back in my radio days, I did a bunch of interviews with them at festivals and stuff around the release of Afterthoughts, and kept in touch ever since. So it's just nice that they're kind of in this place now, and yeah, hopefully touring like fucking crazy in 2024. So desperately want to get down to a show to see them and see what all this new music is about.
Yes, cannot wait. Great live show. Fantastic social media presence. Well done to them for everything they've done so far. Cannot wait to keep watching their steady success.
Yeah, yeah. And shout out to Casey of the Wonders for sorting this out as well. I got to see his band over here in the UK last week and had a really nice sing-along with some of our patrons. Also, I've been to two other gigs this week, right? And random things that happened. I went to see Holding Absence in Cardiff. And as I was going in, got stopped by this woman. She told me that she was Lucas's mother.
Oh, nice.
And just wanted to...
A lot of people at the Old In Absence gigs is Lucas's mother. What? That doesn't mean... Carry on. Sorry about... Yeah, I was caught in Wayne's World.
She was saying how much she enjoys him on the podcast, which I thought was a funny laugh. And I'm actually recording this right now in Nottingham. Because I've been to see McFly. I am in the house of two of our beloved patrons, Mitch and Emily.
Do they know?
They're about to find out. Like, there's pictures of them on the wall right here, so it's weird that I'm looking at them while I'm talking, really, isn't it? But anyway, I went to see McFly. I had a really, really nice time. On the Instagram, there's some photos that are teasing something that's happened. But just to give you a little insight into how good my night was, during this set, there's a song McFly have called Red, where Danny goes into the crowd. So while that was happening, he passed me, stopped his walk, grabbed me and gave me a massive hug, which was just like the nicest thing.
Look at that. Look at
everyone
that.
Else around me was like, who the fuck is this guy? If Danny stopped him to hug him. Nobody. But I'm just happy it happened.
Look at that. So for 2 weeks now, right? Last week we had Dal Plumbo from Glasshow, right? Which is one of the three biggest influences, I suppose, in my life.
Yeah.
This weekend, you get fucking hugged by Danny from McFly. Oh, McFly were the first band you got into.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking coming full circle. We're going to have to knock this podcast on the head now. Props fucking, yeah. End of the year, fuck it. We'll knock it on the head. We've done it, man. We've nearly completed it, so...
Fucking 5 years and finally getting the recognition from people. We love.
But the thing is, ever since I met Danny from day one, he has been fucking absolutely class. All of McFly have. They're all fucking super top chaps. Whether you like their music or not, they're fucking lovely, lovely dudes who just love music. And I love them.
Yes, exactly. And just to tease something, we have something else going to be coming to this very podcast with them very, very soon. So make sure you are subscribed wherever you download your podcast from. Before we go any further, we should just say a massive thank you to our wonderful Patreon community, as always. This last week has been so wholesome with the 5th anniversary. Loads of them have met up at different gigs and just the experiences they're sharing with each other. The fact I can be at two of their houses right now recording this speaks for itself.
Two of their houses?
You're
in two houses?
It's two of them in one, I guess.
All right, cool.
Yeah, they're not that rich. Like, I don't know. I'm not looking at their financial records right now. But anyway.
Well, have a look. Have a look. Whether we can find out if they can afford it an IATA. Come on, have a look. Oh, at the very least, if you find the financial records and they can't afford anything else, you've got to fucking take something off that wall. So it's the very least. What's the other I can have? What do I like us on our wall? I can't really see. But yeah, bring me back something nice.
Fair enough. If you added the description of this episode, there's loads of names in our Patreon that we thank. But as always, Sean is going to give them a hoosive shout out to the elite members of our Satnin Podcast Patreon community.
Yes, if you would like us to come to your house and steal things, check out patreon.com/Satnin. But thank you very much to the following people. Thank you very much, Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi, Janelle Castan, Paul Hirschfield, Scarlett Charton, Tony Michael, Dilly Califragilistic XB, Alec Grimwood, Nathan Croshaw, Mitch Perry, whose house you're in, thank you very much. Kelly Ewan, Emma Barber, Molly Malloy and James Bowerbank, Amy Louise, Kat Besant, Alexandra Pemberton, Jonathan Gutierrez, Jenny Robinson, Amy Dawson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Jones, Stuart McNaught, Ellen Southfield, Caroline Robson, Stephen Aston, Kate Puttock, Jenny Munster, Louis Cook, Carl Pendlebury, James McNaught, Jason Heredia, John and Emma, Martina McManus, Danny Eaton, Craig Harris, Sean Foynes, Emma Evans-Roberts, Ollie Ainsbury, Emily Perry, whose house you're in right now, Adam King of the Goss Parcelow, Kalila Keane, Josh, I have a terrible fear of tsunamis, it comes in waves crisp. Thank you very much, Vicky, Kyle David-Smith, and last but no means least, Connor Lewins. Thank you very much to everyone who's part of our Patreon. Genuinely, it means the world to us. If you're listening to this and thinking, Sean, you sound slightly underwater, it's because since Friday, I've been dying of some sort of cold and or flu. It's not the vid, I've had a check, but it has been a fucking nightmare. This is the first time I felt like a bit like myself since Friday. So, yes, good times. Also, thank you very much to anybody who came to see me DJ in York. Traveled all the way up to York. It took me forever, but we had a great time here. So, thank you very much.
Happy days. Happy days, everywhere. Well, apart from the illness, I hope that clears up.
Happy days. Happy day, Sean's nearly dead. Yeah. Fucking righto.
Emo podcast, that's the emo feeling you need. No? Okay, anyway, this has been another great chat. It's been a fantastic week. Thank you, everyone involved. We'll be back Friday and every damn week for forever. Maybe, I don't know, I'm rambling. Just keep coming back and listening to the podcast because it fucking helps. And go and buy that new merch. It's going to be off sale December 4th. So if you've listened to it before then, go and fucking buy it, please. Help the boys out, man.
Yeah, also the blackout has an announcement Monday, I believe, and then potentially Wednesday. So if you give a shit about the blackout, keep an eye on their socials. Also check out my band Raiders, who exist as well, at Raiders Band UK on social media, Raiders UK on Spotify and stuff like that. Give it a check out. Thank you very much. That's me plugging everything I do. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
That pause was perfect then.
You're listening to Sappening Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.